Good morning, Draper Church. Good morning, Draper Church. All right, I'm awake, you're awake, that's good. If you are new here this morning, my name is Steele Crosswhite. I'm one of the pastors. Typically, I'm at the Salt Lake City location. I'm very excited to be here this morning. We're continuing on in our study through the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And this morning, I am kicking off 2nd Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The name of my talk this morning is Grace, Peace, Faith, and Love. I'm excited to introduce this book to you guys, and I'm also eager, very eager, to share some news with you guys as a church family that's happening in our church as a whole that is going to posture all of us in a position of faith. I think it'll be exciting for this location. God is on the move, so I've got some family business I'm going to go over this morning with you as well. So with that said, let me go ahead and pray, and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you that you love us. God, that is real. How you love us. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray, God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to your children, to their hearts. I pray, God, that through the power of your word, we would walk away different and impacted by what this means for us, not just as individuals, but God, as a church. I truly believe, Father, that you want to speak to your church this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would hear from you, that we would be receiving, Lord, what it is that you want us to know. God, I thank you for this time. Thanks for an opportunity that I can teach. Pray you bless it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so just to recap real quick, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We've been covering the book of Thessalonians for a little over a month now, and many of you may already know this stuff, but here's some quick background information. You remember that Thessalonica was a city in the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia. It had a population of about 100,000 people. It was a flourishing center of trade and philosophy. Thessalonians, or the Thessalonica city, was a free city. It was governed by local officials. There were lots of different cults there, Egyptian cults, there were imperial cults. There was also a sizable population of Jews in Thessalonica. And 2 Thessalonians was written from the city of Corinth about 49 years after Jesus rose from the dead, and shortly after 1 Thessalonians was written, probably a few months, maybe even just a couple of weeks after 1 Thessalonians was written to the church. Paul and Silas and Timothy were still a ministry team together, and like 1 Thessalonians, much of 2 Thessalonians revolves around the same theme, the second coming of Jesus. Now, the Thessalonian church had accepted this false claim that the day of the Lord had come. They started to believe that Jesus had already come, and as a result, they were shaken, they were frightened, they were also undergoing some intense persecution, there was some suffering, there was some hardship, and it led to their confusion about the end. And the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy knew that the church needed to be encouraged, and so they wrote this letter. There was also a problem inside the church with lazy people refusing to work. Some Christians were exploiting the wealthier Christians just to refuse to work at all. So Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians for three major reasons. One, he wanted to reassure them and give them confidence concerning the day of the Lord, or the second coming of Christ, the end times. He wanted to give them a truth about that. Two, he wanted to strengthen the church in the face of horrible persecution. And three, he wanted to deal with this problem of laziness inside of the church with those that were refusing to earn their own living. So, with that said, let's get into these verses here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And so just a few weeks have passed, and Paul and Silas and Timothy, like I said, they're still together as a ministry team. They're in the city of Corinth. They're writing to the Christians in the city of Thessalonica. And the first thing that they desire for this little church is grace and peace. He didn't say, I wish for you fortune. He didn't say, I want you guys to have pleasure. He didn't say, I wish upon you that you'd be super, super big. He didn't wish upon them fame, but he said, I wish upon you grace and peace. Because the Apostle Paul understood, and so should we, that grace provides the enablement of everything within the will of God. In other words, grace gives us the ability to accomplish God's will. And peace then gives us the serenity in every circumstance. Grace for salvation, yes, but beyond grace for salvation is God's grace in us, his strength, his power, working inside of us to accomplish his will. And when we understand his grace, we have peace. And I appreciate the wording here, the threads of words, because it's not on accident. It's God's word. Grace, then peace. The big idea is that we as Christians must experience God's grace before we can experience his peace. That's an important thread. And the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy are saying, may you know the grace, the salvation, the gift, the power, the strength inside of you. And when you do, may it give you peace. And they're gifts from God the Father and Jesus the Son. And I think these verses are incredibly timing for us as a church as a whole concerning our future. And I share that with you because I'm going to share, like I said, some family news in a few minutes. And what this means for me, like Paul is talking to the church in Thessalonica at this time, I, as one of your pastors, am talking to you as a body of believers. And what I want you guys to experience is God's grace for yourself, his freedom, his strength. I want you guys to extend grace to your church members, to each other, to your pastors, and in so doing, as one of your pastors, it's my desire that you would experience unbelievable peace in Christ. The Apostle Paul continues, he says this, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. I so appreciate the words here. It's like he's saying through the Holy Spirit, I thank God because your faith in him is growing and resulting in a greater love for one another. Again, notice the threading of words. First grace, then peace. First faith, then love. That's how it works. I can't help but thank God for you because your faith, church, is growing. And when your faith grows, your love for one another grows. That's the result. There's this guy and his beard, which is awesome. Seen some good beards this morning. C.H. McIntosh, he says this, faith puts us in contact with the eternal spring of love in God himself. And the necessary consequence or fruit is that our hearts are drawn out in love to all who belong to him. Faith puts us in contact with love, with God himself, and the overflow of that is that we love one another. Grace, then peace. Faith, then love. And I've noticed this true in my own life. And again, the threading of words is important here. When we know God's grace, when we know his strength, when we know his kindness, when we know his peace, when we know his freedom, when we know his gift, we experience peace and we trust in him then. We have faith in him. We put our faith in his plan. And when we allow our faith to be in him because of his grace and the peace that results, we love each other. That's unbelievable. That's God's word. In my own life, I have noticed that when I have been the most explosive with my temper or my emotions, the edgiest I have been or the rudest I have been during the times where I haven't placed my faith in God's grace or in his plan. And in my own life, that has resulted in times of lack of peace or harshness with God's people, especially the ones that are closest to me. I have put my co-pastors at times through hell and my poor family sometimes when I'm not trusting in God's grace. And it results in not love, but yuckiness. But when I have trusted God's grace and his peace is in me, I have likewise grown in faith and grown in love. And so this morning, here's our question. Where can you noticeably grow? Because we can grow in all these areas, and we know that. We can grow in grace and peace and faith and love, but maybe there's an area in your life that you know you need to grow. Maybe you need to understand God's grace in your life, not just grace for salvation. If you're new this morning, you need to understand that salvation is a gift. It is a grace. It is given to you. Maybe you need to understand that salvation is offered through Jesus. You need to experience the first taste of his grace. But maybe for some of us who are Christians, it needs to go beyond that. We need to grow in our understanding of how gracious God really is with us, how kind he really is to us, how merciful how freeing he is to us, how he really sees you. Have you allowed his grace to grow in your heart? Have you rightly seen the way he sees you so you can become filled with peace and grown in faith and love? And these verses that I'm sharing with you this morning, guys, have been incredibly dear to me over the past couple of weeks. Because God is gracious and God gives peace. That is real. And when we place our faith in him, it does result in love. It's kind of like a blanket for me. It's like Harry Potter, you know, when you put on that cloak, that invisibility cloak. That's what God's grace feels like to me. It just covers me. It's like a blanket. When we cover ourselves with his grace and his kindness and his tenderness, we are peaceful. We are faith-filled. We are loving. First grace, then peace. First faith, then love. Wow. That we would press on to know God's grace. And these words, they come at just the right time. Because the Apostle Paul, look at this. He says, we proudly tell God's other churches. Think about this. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and your faithfulness and all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. So the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy are writing to this little church in Thessalonica. They're undergoing this harsh persecution. They really are suffering. They are enduring. And he says, your suffering and the way that you react and the way that you are placing your faith in God and experiencing his peace and loving one another through your hardships, we can boast about you to all the other churches, and they become thankful because of how you react. That is an amazing sequence. You are undergoing times of hardship, times of change, times of suffering, times where you need to be enduring. And when that happens, as you are doing it correctly, placing your eyes on God, wow, it becomes an example to the watching world around us. The Apostle Paul is telling this persecuted, at times disoriented church, your faithfulness, your endurance, your persecution, your hardship, your suffering, we're talking about you to the other churches, to the other Christians, about how you're handling this, and it's making them thankful. And here's what this means for us this morning that I think we need to gather. We need to understand that there do come times of suffering in the church, not just as individuals, okay? Of course that happens, but the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy, they're talking to a church. And there are times then when as a church, we will undergo suffering. There are times as a church where we will need to endure. There are hardships as a church that we will need to face. We see that in the Word of God. And that means it's going to happen in our church. And does. But the Apostle Paul is saying these are opportunities for us to have faith. We can put our eyes on God's grace. We can experience his peace. We can have faith. We can result in love. And that causes us to boast to other Christians. That's how it goes. He's saying it's true, it's hard. It's true there's suffering. It's true that there's endurance. But your faith causes us to boast, to be thankful. And this morning, honestly, a lot of what I'm going to share with you really does impact you in a big way and really impacts our Salt Lake City church a lot. What I shared with them last night. But I do believe these verses give us an opportunity this morning to impact us in an unbelievably real way. I shared this last night. I'll share it this morning. I think as I share this family news with these verses, you're going to be able to do four things. One, I think you guys are going to be able to walk in God's complete and perfect and satisfying grace as his dearly loved child. You can do that this morning. Now, if you're new here this morning and this is your first time here, you guys are coming on kind of an interesting morning. As I said, I'm going to share some news that directly impacts us as the Rock Church. But if you're new, I want you to know this. The reason I'm sharing this with this church is because we take family very seriously, being together as a body, and we take God's grace very seriously. So if this is your first time here, come back again next week. It's going to continue on in this book study. But this morning, talking to a family. You guys are going to have the opportunity to walk in God's grace, to experience his grace, to give grace because you are God's child. Two, you're going to be able to experience God's deep peace within your heart. You're going to have an opportunity for this as his child. This morning, you can believe that God loves you. He has plans for you. No matter what happens around us, He has what's best in store simply because you are His kid. And He really, really loves you. Imagine that. God really, really loves you. Really, really, really. That's amazing. You're going to have an opportunity to place your faith in this gracious and powerful God. And in so doing, you will be able to have an opportunity to deeply love your brother and sisters in the church because they're God's kid. And you're going to have an opportunity. Though there may be times of hardship and endurance, you are going to have an opportunity at this location to be a cause for joy across the entire world. And that seems dramatic, but that is real. Some of you guys don't understand that these small churches in Salt Lake City and in Draper, West Valley, they have impacted the entire world through music and messages. And the way that you react to some of this news is going to be able to have an opportunity to be a cause for joy to the watching Christians around the world. So let me explain to you the family news. For the past several months, we as pastors have been seeking God's direction on how we might grow in our excellence in reaching Utah for the gospel, okay? We've been having conversations and asking ourselves questions like this, hard questions. Is our current model of church planting working well? Is it working well, the way we've been doing it, the way we've kind of learned that's been passed on to us for this culture, for this time, right now, is it working for us? Is it good? And what is good about it? What can be better? So we've been asking hard questions like that. We've asked questions like, is everybody on staff in the right areas of their gifting so that they can be encouraged? Now, of course, all of us as Christians are going to experience times of discouragement, but this is important for us to ask those kinds of questions. Are we in the right areas of gifting? Are we encouraged? We've been asking questions like this. As a whole, is the church as a whole, all of our locations, are we growing in faith? Are we growing in encouragement? Are we growing in grace? Are we growing in peace? Are we growing in love? Are we growing in faithfulness? Are we growing in fruitfulness? Really, let's look at our churches, really. So we've been asking these hard questions, these good questions, these soul-searching questions. Holy Spirit, teach us how to look at your church. And as these conversations were happening, we got some surprising news 2 weeks ago from our landlords in Salt Lake City, at the Salt Lake City Rock. 2 weeks ago, Josh Whitney, who you know, he taught here, I believe, last weekend, and Mac, who did the announcements this morning, met with our current landlords who own our Salt Lake City building down in South Salt Lake. They own the red warehouse and the white building, if you've been down there, and some properties all around that area. And they informed Josh and Mac that in a matter of 8 months, they are tearing that building down. And so in addition with these kinds of conversations that are happening, and with the news that that building is going to be torn down, you guys also know, maybe you know, as a church, one of your pastors, I took a 6-week sabbatical where I was able to quiet my heart and hear from the Lord in very real and specific ways in regard to my own life. It felt like an amazing time of rest, and it also felt like surgery on my heart. And I'm happy to share with you guys in more detail, one-on-one, some of the things that God taught me, but I don't want to bore you with that this morning. But I will tell you, if you want to know, all that to say, with the posing of these questions, how can we grow? How can we get better? With the news of the demoing of the building, with the countless, and I mean this, countless hours of prayer, lots and lots of conversation, here's what we've decided to do. We've decided to fold our Salt Lake City church into this church, which we're thrilled about and scared about. You guys know you're here this morning. You're bursting at the seams. There's tons and tons of new people. It's a very, very exciting time to be here at the Rock Church at this location. And Mac and Bill have been talking about for lots of weeks now about this idea at the Draper location of starting a new Saturday night service here. And as these conversations were happening, with all the news that was impacting the Salt Lake City church, it seemed like that would be a good option for us to think about as we move Salt Lake City and all those 200 people and staff to this location. Maybe we can help start a new Saturday night location. And so here's what this means, is though it is tremendously difficult, especially for the Salt Lake City Saints, and though this is personally, and I mean this, very, very, very hard, and it is, we've been there for 13 years, 13 years at that location, beating the ground. It is tremendously difficult to think about leaving that location, to change things. But we also believe that it can lead to tremendous good by coming here. By merging our Salt Lake City location to this location, there are lots of good things that can happen. I wanted to talk through just a couple of them with you this morning that you should know about. When we move here, we can roughly free up about $120,000 a year to be used for greater opportunities of outreach for the gospel in Utah. Think about this. From compassion opportunities to outreach, the finances, it costs $120,000 a year just to keep the doors open in Salt Lake City and the lights on. Just a year. So imagine, just for a second, these things aren't concrete, but imagine if we could took some of that money and we like sponsored 500 compassion kids. Wouldn't that be awesome? Or if we could actually help the homeless that is coming to our building every single Saturday beyond just giving them coffee and a place to sit down. If we could actually use some of that money and say, guys, we want to help you get sober and help you get stable and help you know Jesus. So we can free up some finances to be used in a way that is good. That can be very encouraging for us. We can use that. Two, we could take a much closer look at how we are positioned as a staff. And we can make efforts to place people in their clear areas of gifting to make sure that the church can be led in a more excellent, sustainable way. This is important because we want, guys, these churches, we want God to use the Rock Church, not just for you, but for your kids and for your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids, because there's a lot of work and reach that needs to be done in Utah. Less than 2.6% of this state is evangelical Christian. And so we want to do a good job at being around. And so we want to look at how we're staffed and how we're positioned to make sure that we can be sustainable over the next 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years. Hard questions to ask, but we want to make sure that people are in the right place. Here's what this means for me. When we make this move, though I will still be a pastor and I will still occasionally teach, my primary role is going to change into leading music and regularly overseeing the rock music on a regular basis. And I couldn't get more excited about that because that means I can play my guitar more and sing more and tell everybody that Jesus loves them all the more. I'm stoked about that. And I can help the bands. It's going to be good. If I could just have my guitar and sing and say, hey, guess what? I'm so glad you're here. Jesus loves you so much. Let's sing some songs. Oh, man. It's like Christmas time, chocolate and coffee and all the good stuff. Really excited about that. Really excited to be able to pour into the rock music more, to shepherd and to help and to lead in an excellent way with the spirit of worship. So, of course, I'm still going to be a pastor and teaching, but I'm going to have those walls up and my eyes on the worship division, and I'm very thrilled with that. And there are conversations happening right now among our staff. Is everybody in the right place? Bill has been calling it, is everybody on the right seat in the bus? We're all going the same place, but are we all sitting in the right seats? So these are important questions. This is a good thing by merging. This is important, especially for our Salt Lake City Saints. You guys should know this. Listen, Draper, you're a part of this. It's going to be an opportunity for people to have rest. There are so many people in Salt Lake City that planted Provo. So 2003, we planted this location in Sandy, planted Salt Lake City. We've been beating the ground there for the past 13 years and planted two churches from that one church. There are people there that are bone tired. Not everybody, but many. And so our desire as pastors is that the people in our Salt Lake City church that need encouragement, some of them are leading in childcare, they're doing coffee, they're doing greeting, they're sweeping up at 11 o'clock at night, they're making sure that the mentally unstable are in the right places in the building. So many people are wearing multiple hats and they're tired. And our desire as pastors is that with this change, we can look at those men and women and say, listen, if you need to be refreshed, if you need a time of Sabbath, if you need to take a break from leading small groups or coordinating or serving in general, just come to this location and be refreshed. And so what that means for you guys is when they come in here, you grab them, hug them, and say, we're so glad that you're here, you dirty tattooed freak. Not everybody's like that, but you know what I'm saying. Some people need to come in and get rest. We're excited. We're getting there. It's hard for us, okay? It's hard. It's a big change. But our eyes are on the Lord. But some people are going to come in just worn out and tired. And you guys are going to have an opportunity to refresh them. Here's the other thing. Particularly for our Salt Lake City location and this location, there are going to be new opportunities to serve. Those people that have not yet had a chance to serve are going to have welcomed opportunities to do so. Because you guys know that there are lots of people here, and with the planting of a new service or the starting of a new service, there are going to be new opportunities for some of you to serve and new opportunities for some of our Salt Lake City folks that haven't led a small group yet, that maybe haven't coordinated something before, that maybe do want to sweep or do something in kids care, that maybe do want to run coffee and have never done it. They can come in and say, you know what? We have new opportunities. This is a new service. This is a new place. I want to dig in. Some people we know are fired up about that. That means some of you here, when we plant this new service, you guys are going to have new opportunities to do that as well. That is a good thing. This is for us and for you, Salt Lake City and for Draper. We are going to have opportunities to meet new people. Lots of our folks from Salt Lake City don't make the 25-minute drive to Draper. It's like they just stop at 2700 South. Okay, so it is hard sometimes to come all the way here. At least it seems hard, but it's really wonderful to be able to look at our Salt Lake City location and you guys to say, hey, we have opportunities to meet new people. The Draper location really is multi-generational. It's amazing. Some of our folks haven't come here ever. And so they just kind of think that Draper's like out in the burbs, like freaked out, the city folk, right? But I've been explaining to them, trying to listen, at this location, there are young people, there are old people, married people, single people, parents, empty nesters, students, career-minded folks, you name it, Draper has it, baby. You're going to have opportunities for new relationships, and so are you. So will you. And that is a good thing, because Christ works inside of the body. So that can be exciting. Here's what also can happen. Opportunities to bless. It is true that the Salt Lake City location has lots of people that are going to come that are tired. But listen, guys, they will have an opportunity to bless you. They've been beating the ground for 13 years. 13 years, many of them. And they will have an opportunity to bless you as a church. They will have unique understandings of the city proper. You will be blessed by their experiences because they are different. By their faithfulness and their endurance and their faith and their love and their courage in this change, they will bless you. But you also have an opportunity to bless them. Like I said, refreshing them, welcoming them in. That's a good thing. You can bless and they can bless. This is the most important thing for us as pastors, I think. One of the most important things, particularly maybe I'll say for me, to our Salt Lake City folks, and of course to you. With this merging, folks are going to have an opportunity to truly seek the Lord concerning how they should personally move forward. This is a big deal. In Salt Lake City, some people need to seek the Lord as to whether or not this is the opportunity that they have to go maybe even to a new church, which is an incredibly hard thing for me to even think about as a pastor. I mean, it goes without saying when I looked at our Salt Lake City church last night, I want everybody here to just come down to Draper. I mean, I want everybody to experience things together as a family. Of course I do. We are a family, and I want that to happen. But more important is that people individually seek Jesus on their own. Ask Jesus, Lord, lead me. Where do you want me to go? Is this an opportunity for me to go and strengthen other churches in this valley? I mean, I told the Salt Lake City location last night, you know what the greatest blessing really for me as a pastor is to my life? It's you. I want you to come, but if you feel like the Lord is leading you to go to another church, praise the Lord. Praise God. The greatest gift I can give is your life in another church because you have loved the Lord and you have been loved and you can go to this other church and they're going to look at you and say, where did you come from? And I came from Jesus in the Rock Church. Woo-hoo! It's amazing. You will be a blessing. That's an opportunity for people to think about that and pray about that. Some people are going to need, you will need to decide as well. Seek Jesus. Ask Jesus. Should I go to the 9:30 service? Should I go to 11:15 service? This is for our Salt Lake City folks, of course. Some people there have been born again in that service and have gotten married and now they have babies, and it's a little hard for them to do a 7 o'clock at night service because they have these little people. And they're thinking, you know what? Maybe this is an opportunity for us to go to the 9:30 service. Maybe an opportunity to go to the 11:15 service. Some of them and some of you are going to need to pray and get counsel and pray and seek Jesus and how he leads you to about whether or not maybe you want to go to a Saturday night service at this location and serve, or just have an expectation of renewal. But here's the big deal. Here's what I shared with them last night. Here's what I'll share with you. No matter what the decision is that they make, that you make, in regard to these things, if you are truly seeking Jesus, if you are seeking his grace, if you are seeking his plan, if you are asking him, God, please lead me specifically, if you're taking the time and praying, asking your closest friends and taking more time to pray and read and say, Jesus, lead me. If that is your heart, you won't fail. You won't fail because God is with us and God will lead you. And that is a wonderful thing. You are not going to make the wrong decision. It's an opportunity for faith. With that kind of heart, you won't fail. And so our current plan right now is to ask the Salt Lake City folks and you, seek Jesus, pray, seek Jesus and pray some more, and draw some conclusions of faith for you and your family about which service to attend. Now, of course, this is for you guys about the Saturday night thing that's coming. For them, it's about whether or not they're even coming, or which service they want to attend, or what church they might want to go to. So we want to ask them to pray. I told them last night, guys, if in the next couple of weeks and months you have felt led by the Holy Spirit to go to another church, here's what I'm going to do. Pick up the phone. I'm going to call the pastor of the other church. I'm going to tell him you're there. And I'm going to tell him not to screw it up. But if they're coming and they say, there's a whole crop of them that want to come to 9:30, I want to help them come to 9:30. So they can stay together as a family, okay? And if there's a bunch of them that want to come to 11:15, I want them to come to 11:15 so they can stay together as a family. And if there are people that want to go to Saturday night service here at this location, I want to help them stay together. So we want to find out which service they want to attend. And I imagine here we're going to need to start taking some polls about which one of you might want to go to a Saturday night service. Here's what our plan is for Salt Lake City. And I think you guys can be included in this. Many of you have been to Salt Lake City and have been a part of that. Some of you have kids that go there. We are planning on having our last Saturday night service on September 10th, a little over a month away. It's going to be a time of celebration about what God has done at that location. Lots of people have been saved. Lots of people have been changed. For many people, it's their first experience and only experience they've ever had of church. We want to celebrate what God has done, and we want to celebrate what God plans on doing in the future. But it's also going to be a time to grieve. I've appreciated Max so much because this process is sad for us. It is hard for us. It is a new beginning in some ways, and with new beginnings, there's change, and change can be hard, and change can be sad. And so we want to celebrate well, and we want to grieve well. So on September 10th, we're going to have that last service. After that service, we're going to encourage our Salt Lake City folks to take, as pastors, we thought this was a good idea, just take a couple weeks off. We're going to cancel service. If you want to come to the Draper location and check it out, on 9/11 you can, 9/25. If you feel like you're just totally bone tired, you don't want to do church at all, you just want to go get away, take 2 weeks and go spend some time with the Lord. Be encouraged, be refreshed. We obviously, some of us are going to have some work to do down at that building to gut it and get stuff ready. So that's another reason that we wanted to do that, but mainly to give people time to seek the Lord. And then from there, our plan is to launch a new Saturday night service here at this location on October 1st. So it's coming up. And you guys are going to be encouraged to decide which service you maybe want to go to. If you want to stay here, great. You want to go to 11:15, great. You want to go to the Saturday night service, great. But we're going to need to find that out here in the next couple of weeks. And it's important to note this for you guys and for our Salt Lake City Church. The Saturday night service is not going to be a Salt Lake City service exclusively. Okay, it's not going to be that. It's just going to be another additional service at this location. It's going to be a unique opportunity to build church oneness, okay? We think that's very important right now. I want to read you guys an email that Josh Whitney wrote to our leaders because a week ago, not yesterday, but a week ago Saturday, we met with our leaders in Salt Lake City and explained some of this news. And then he wrote an email that following Monday morning to those leaders, and it extends to our church now as well, of course. But this gives you an idea of our hearts. He said, "Good afternoon, Salt Lake City Saints. As your pastors, we appreciated your taking time out of your Saturday morning a week ago to hear how God has been leading us over the last couple of months. The meeting was hard, but it was good. Josh said, I have personally had a number of conversations with some of you over the last few days. I've appreciated the tears, the working through of our emotions, and the faith being demonstrated. This is a big deal for the Salt Lake City location. God has done a mighty work there for over the past 13 years, and God will continue to move in the future. But there is a grieving in the closing of this chapter. Ultimately, over the course of the past 2 months, God led the pastors to a unanimous decision to merge the Salt Lake City location into the Draper location and launch a Saturday night service in the fall. There were many hours of talking and seeking counsel and praying," Josh wrote, "but I take a lot of peace in the fact that God brought the pastors to a place of unity in this decision. There were many pros and cons for the different options, and there are." He wrote, "I would be happy to talk to any of you individually about our thought process, as would any of the pastors at this point with you as well." Josh wrote, "You are the leaders and the core team of the Salt Lake City location, and we invite all of you to really seek God's heart on your personal involvement. We are a family. So obviously, we want all of you to become the nucleus of a new Saturday night Draper service. Every one of you," he wrote, "is invited to be a part of this new initiative. But God interacts with us both corporately and individually. So we understand that God sometimes uses changes like this to lead us in a new direction. With that said, you need to hear there is total freedom in the Lord to seek God's will on this. Maybe he wants you to switch location or services or even churches. We would love to talk to you about how God is leading you and what you are considering. If some of you decide to leave, as much as we would miss you, we understand that God leads his children individually, and we want to be a part of that process with you. Saturday morning was a lot to process," he wrote. "Please pray and seek counsel and ask questions. Talk to your pastors and make a decision in faith, because honestly, at the end of the day, all that matters is faith expressing itself in love." He wrote, "I'd be happy to talk to any of you personally, as would any of the pastors of The Rock," which of course is true. So that is the family news that we have right now. I think it's going to be an opportunity, guys, for us at this location to mix it up. I think it's going to be good, but you need to know that I think it's going to be hard for our Salt Lake City Saints as well. So please pray for them. Pray for me. It's a hard transition as one of the pastors to do this. And you know, in some ways, I feel like this is important for you to hear, and I think it was very important for the Salt Lake City location to hear that this is not like anything we've ever done before. You see, it's not like we are saying, "Hey, everybody join us for this new great church plant." We're saying, "Hey, we're going to go do this awesome thing," which gets everybody kind of riled up and excited. And like, "Yeah, we're doing something awesome. It's so incredible." It feels more like the Lord has brought things to light. Does that make sense? Like more like God moving through circumstances externally and internally inside of our church and the pastor's hearts. And with all these news and this information, like, "Lord, you brought something to light." It feels a little bit like Moses in the cloud. That's what it kind of feels like. You know, when the cloud, when God's presence would move, all the Israelites, "Well, we just got here. We've just been here. We've been comfortable here. I don't know. The cloud is moving. So here we go." It wasn't like take charge, take the land. It was like, "I don't know where we're going next, but we're moving here." It feels a little bit like that. And so what we can trust is that God's going to bless us because we're walking in faith. We know that. We trust God's ultimate plan. But it does feel a little different for some of us. And so with that, pray for us. Pray for your brothers and sisters, and maybe you don't even know. There's 200 people down there that love Jesus, that are hurt by this and saddened and in some ways encouraged. We've had multiple different kinds of conversations, but if you want to know what you guys can do, it's ready yourself and pray for your brothers and sisters. I'll be here. You can talk to Mac, me, Bill, Josh, any one of the pastors. One other thing just to say, we don't have all the answers yet, okay? We don't. As pastors, we will give as much information as we know, but we're kind of learning here too. So extend grace to us in the best way you know how. We're going to try to walk us through this process. We do think God has lots and lots of good for this location. I personally am very excited about getting a bunch of people in this location and just having church oneness and being awesome together. I'm very excited about that. It just takes faith. So pray, be patient with us and gracious. So why don't I just go ahead and pray here, and we can start that process. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you love us. How you love us, Jesus, that is real. God, I thank you that this gives us as a church, corporately as a church, an opportunity right now, Lord, to place our faith in you. And God, last night I mentioned, and I'll mention this morning, Lord, some of us are reeling with this news. For some of us, God, this is really, really, really hard. For some of us, it feels kind of like a punch in the gut. And God, I would ask that you would meet them right where they are with this news. That Jesus, you would show up and comfort their heart, and that, Lord, they would know your grace, know your peace, have faith in you, and love your people. God, you can do that. And Lord, I pray for this location, that God, that there are these changes that are happening to us and among us. And I pray, Lord, that the Draper folks, that God, that they would be positioned in a posture of faith and welcoming and courage and refreshment. And Lord, some of them here even this morning, maybe they get excited about going to a different service. I pray, God, that you would speak to their hearts. Maybe they want to go to a Saturday night thing. Maybe this is the time for them. God, lead them. And ultimately, Lord, as pastors, we want to stand before you in complete and total humility. Lord, we want to just recognize that we don't exactly know what's happening. Some of these things are super scary. They seem very hard. Some of the conversations we've had, God, are incredibly hard. But our eyes are on you. And I pray, Lord, that as pastors, we would demonstrate tremendous faith, but also, Lord, just tons of transparency, that we would have opportunities to learn from things that maybe we've done not so great, and learn from that to do better. And as pastors, God, we could speak to the church in a humble way and say, guys, listen, we love Jesus, we love people. That's about what we know. We want to grow. We want to get better. But God, we need you. We need you. I need you. Lord, you know, in my quiet times, I've been personally very encouraged with the idea of coming to Draper in some ways to play music more, but it's not about me, Jesus, it's about your church. Pray that you would encourage your church. Lord, I pray that you would protect us in this process. I pray that you would give us good conversations with the Salt Lake City Saints. God, I ask that you would give them courage to really seek you. God, that they would come to a place where they say, oh, you know what? This has been so hard, but God has really spoken to my heart. And that is good. They can walk away and say, this is a time that the Lord invaded my heart, changed my life, walked right to me, and led me here. And that, Lord, they would forever, our saints would forever look at this time as an opportunity to say, God, you moved in my life in a real way. I pray the same for this location, God, that you would stir our hearts up. That, Lord, in no way whatsoever would we, you know my heart here, God, get comfortable. Lord, we want to be spoken to. We want to be refreshed. We want to be ministered to by your Holy Spirit and by the body. But, Lord, we also just constantly want to be remembering that you are doing things, and that this is a war, and that there are times of suffering and hardship and reevaluation, and it can be tricky. Help us in this process to keep our eyes on you. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in this location. I thank you, God, that we have a building that we can even go to. 2 years ago, this would have been an impossibility. 2 years ago, when they were gonna rip down Sandy, everybody from Sandy was thinking about going to Salt Lake. But God, you've provided a home for us here. 114th South, 700 East. God, I thank you that the tracks line is right here for all those homeless folks that go to church on Saturday night. God, I pray they'd come here. I really do. That they would be ministered to, God, and loved. They'd take the tracks and they'd walk here and they would come. And this church would have an opportunity to love the least of these even more. Help us, Jesus, with this. God, we need you. We say these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.